This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Good afternoon, this is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 150 of Within the Trenches. We're recording live from the Convention Center in San Antonio, Texas, for the 2017 National NENA Conference. Now, I am on the third floor where there is no one, and
except you found us.
Yeah, that's right, which is...
Suckers!
Yeah, which is awesome. No, when they let out, or people, I don't know, come from break and start going to classes, it'll actually be a lot of people up here. But I am up here in the podcast zone, and next to me is Fletch from Avaya for APN. So we're up here doing our podcast like we do for National NENA every year, and it's been pretty good out here so far. It's been hot as hell, but it's been good. Today is day one out in the vendor hall. I recorded a video for the podcast fan page so that people could see exactly what it looked like, because not a lot of people get to see what goes on at the national conferences, how big they are. So it was good to put that out there. I got a lot of feedback already. This episode is also supported by National NENA, as well as In Digital, a leader in next-gen core services. Now, my guest today, I have Don with Sonoma County Sheriff's Department, and Leanne out of
Marin.
Drum roll, County please. Did he remember how to say it?
Nope, because I was reading it, and I in my head, yeah, it was coming out the other way.
Marin County, for those of you that don't pronounce it, Marin.
Right, Marin County. See, it's because I'm from Michigan, I guess. I don't know. But welcome to the show, and they're also out of California. So you guys were just walking by and... like, hey, let's do an episode.
Well, I saw one of my heroes, Big Mac, who's sitting behind you. So
that's
I wanted
right
to try to get his autograph, which I still need to obtain before I leave this podcast. And just wanted to say hi, and here we are.
Yeah, you got to get a picture with him.
Yes. You know. Yeah, I have a full-size poster in my room that, you know, I look at every night before I go to bed. So
does it have the same stash?
It does have the same stash. Well, nice. It's funny because as he grows it, I got to pencil it in. So
as it continues to go, you keep growing it out.
Yes, I just keep growing it out.
Oh shit, that's funny. So have you been enjoying the conference so far? I mean, we were talking just a little bit ago, and Leanne, you were going all over the place in the vendor hall apparently, right?
Yes, the vendor hall is like the best thing at a conference because there are so many people and so many different ideas.
Yeah.
And where the classes are great, you can't always see everything. You're more on us what they want to present. So the vendor hall is so great. Don hates following me because
I go two steps and then
go two steps and I get in a conversation with someone. But you know, it really is about the conversations you have with people, and it mm-hmm. spurs other ideas. And
right,
you can
exactly
get a lot of stuff done for your dispatch center as a manager in the vendor hall. Mm-hmm. So that's really where you need to be. It's not about the bingo and the free swag, although the pens are nice.
I'm not doing
that.
The bingo.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate that they're doing that, but I'm just not a fan of the bingo.
Well, why not, man?
Just, it's a lot of work. I'd rather, I'd rather focus on what I'm there for, not focusing on just walking around.
But the bingo is good for the people who don't know how to use the vendor hall.
True.
And I think that's one of the biggest things is if you're a brand new dispatcher coming to a conference, you're like, oh, my manager wants me in classes. What am I supposed to do with this vendor time?
Right.
Okay, I'll play bingo because I'm, Lord forbid, I can't talk to someone. I'm not a decision maker.
Yeah.
What they don't realize is the vendors get so many good ideas that they can end up implementing from that dispatch who actually works at the seat.
Right, exactly.
Versus the vendor who went, I think this is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone buys it and then they're like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, they don't realize a lot of that stuff can happen in the vendor hall.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of the vendors down there have, you know, pulled in dispatchers, you know, or people from public safety to work for them because, you know, they come
they
from
go
there
to the dark side.
Yeah. Right. Thanks for helping our staffing shortages. We really appreciate that. Yes.
I'm being hired by XYZ vendor company. Peace out. No more mandatory overtime.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting paid more money. Bye.
That's right. Hey, 13 and a half years sitting in, being in the chair. That was crazy stuff.
He's one of them.
Oh, you're one of them.
Yeah. For 13 and a half years.
Remember, I just followed Don and got told to sit down.
Dispatch. Yeah. So. I started out dispatching in a small PD in Florida, the city of Frostproof.
Frostproof. Was it Frostproof?
Is that a real town?
It is a real town. Yes. And there's actually a story behind that name. It used to be called Keystone way, way back in the day. But there was some, if you can believe it, winter weather that came through Florida and frosted all of, I guess, the groves in the area except for Keystone. So the mayor ended up changing the name to Frostproof. It wow. sounds so stupid, but it's for real, man. You can look it up.
Man, that's like a police chief or fire chief comes in, they change the patch. That's like change the name of the city.
Yes. Exactly. Wow. Yeah, so I started there, and then I moved back home to Michigan. And
that's not frostproof.
No, right. Yeah, exactly. And I ended up working for the county that I grew up in, which was pretty crazy.
That's awesome. That's cool. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's
coming home.
I did all that and... Yeah, I started doing the podcast and stuff, and the company that I work for now found me through there and plucked me from dispatch.
Lucky.
Lucky. So lucky.
Hey, it's been good. It's been a good time.
No, good for you. And good for what you're doing for everything else within the trenches, with the stickers. It's all good. Hey, the I'm 911
movement.
I am 911. I do like that.
He started that.
Thank you.
He's the creator. Yeah.
I started that one. So how did you guys get started in public safety, though?
Did you want to go first?
No, Don, I think you should go first.
My mother-in-law at the time, who worked for the city of Cloverdale, said that I had the right temperament for the job. Mm-hmm. So when I was kind of, you know, jack of all trades, I had this job and that job and this job, but no real career. So I ended up taking the typing test and failed. And I didn't really like it because it was on a real typewriter back in 1995. They had real typewriters back
dun,
then.
Dun, dun.
And then a few years later in 1999, they had the opening again. And I got a typing certificate from a temp agency that was on a computer.
And how many times did you get to take that test before you got that certificate?
One with the autocorrect. So it was good.
Oh.
So
all right.
I passed, got in the door, and then went to work for Cloverdale PD, which is a small town, has like 5,000-6,000 people in it, one-man band. You know, totally loved it. Learned a lot there because I had to learn about the jail, records management, dog tags, everything, right? A to Z. And then in California, you have to go to a 3-week academy mm-hmm. within your first year. And I went to that academy and met a county dispatcher and got to talking with them. And I'm like, well, this is kind of cool. And then I had my first homicide. And it was the first homicide in that town in the last 10 years.
Whoa.
And I was all by myself in the comm center. And I was just kind of like, looking around, going, I don't want to be here by myself. And then I applied to be the county, and then 3 months later, I was there.
It was meant to be.
Where, you know, Cloverdale takes one homicide every 10 years, where the sheriff's office takes 8 to 10 a year. And I've handled, you know, honestly, I've handled a couple of them, and I couldn't tell you any specifics. That first one, I can tell you the address, what happened, the whole nine yards, the rest of them, I have no idea.
So is that one that stuck with you then?
Actually, that's not the worst one. My worst call was on an overtime day, of course. Mm-hmm. Pick up calls like 2:00 in the afternoon, and the lady says that she had been shot by her son.
Whoa.
So we're going through the motions of, you know, understanding where he was and what else was happening. And in the meantime, the son had also shot the stepdad or her husband and her sister and killed both of them.
Jeez.
And so it was interesting because she had been shot in the head, been shot in the chest, and shot in the leg. But you would never know it on the phone without her telling me that information. And what got me about the call was that she said, my life is over because my husband's gone. And that would just like totally hit the heartstrings.
Right, yeah. Right?
And then so we were trying to figure out where he was going. And apparently he was going to his grandma's house to kill her. So we send units over to that house. And when they see him drive up, he sees them. And basically takes his own life. Which from the law enforcement perspective, okay, that probably couldn't have ended any better.
Right.
Under the circumstances that they were faced with. But yeah, it, you know, that was the call. And the hardest part I think about 911 sometimes, with the way the world is nowadays, is every time that phone rings, there really could be something that trumps that call.
Right.
In the back of your mind, you know, you got this, you can handle it. But every time you pick up that phone, you're like, what is it going to be? We have a dispatcher in our comm center that's taken a homicide, a double homicide, and a triple homicide call. Like, he was actually, you could put in the call, homicide was the type code because you knew it was a homicide. Triple homicide. So what's left for that dispatcher? A quad? Really? Jeez. In today's day and age, is that a possibility? Yeah, it could happen.
Right.
Active shooter.
Yeah, sure.
Man, that's pretty crazy. So is that person, though, also the one person that when you work with them either during the day or at night, they're like the magnet for all the crazy calls, almost as if it's a full moon every time they come in?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Over their
head. Yeah.
They all have those dispatchers.
Right, yeah.
I wouldn't say that.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that at all. And he's one of the best that we have, so.
Well, then maybe there's a reason for it. Maybe because he's so,
He can handle
good.
It.
Yeah, he can handle it and go with it then.
Yeah.
So then how long did it take for, like, your training process?
From the sheriff or from Cloverdale or?
Let's go with the sheriff's department when you end up going there.
So, it's interesting because I knew a little bit about everything, but when you're in dispatch for the county, all I needed to worry about was dispatch. So the hardest part for me was taking the call and typing it into a CAD system so that somebody else could read it.
Right.
Because before I would write down nothing if I didn't need to, mm-hmm. and I would write down later on to the card because we were on cards back then.
Yeah.
And, learning new abbreviations or the abbreviations. I was making up abbreviations. So I remember one time I was typing a call and the lady was wearing a tank top. She says, what's she wearing? She's wearing a tank top. So I wrote in T-top and then kept going. And they were like, what is that? I'm like, it's a T-top. It's a tank top. They're like, we don't use that here. I was like, oh, I got to stop making up my own abbreviations.
Well, you know what's funny is that when you said tank top, that's the first thing I thought was T-top.
See?
And
I thought of a car.
Well, okay, yeah.
It's the confusion.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I guess if they were, describing the car and said, I might have gone with that too. But I don't know. I used to make up stuff as well. So advised subject would be ADV, space SUBJ. And it was just...
Common, yeah.
Common
I'm good
spelling.
With that. But T-top for tank top, no.
Well, the other thing that's interesting about being
a
trainee?
Wearing a tank.
Yes. Well, as a trainee, there's no trust factor, right? So I would say if I was a 10-year veteran and I wrote in tank top, somebody might put two and two together if they know me and know how I speak and whatever.
Right. But
when you're 6 months in, you create an armed robbery and they kind of wait for your first line of text. I've been robbed doesn't necessarily mean I've been robbed.
Right.
Yeah. So, you have that where everyone's doubting everything that you're doing in the beginning because you
haven't proven yourself.
You haven't weathered the
right,
storm.
Right, exactly.
Weathered the storm, so.
Yeah, the episode, let's see, it was a couple episodes before now. So episode 148, I had Adam Tim, who's with the Healthy Dispatcher, and we were talking about that and how, and he hated the term, but eating our young. It's kind of like that, what you're saying, you don't really trust them and stuff. And I was telling him that when I had first started, I was telling my wife that I didn't think that I was going to continue to do it. I almost quit because when they brought me in, and this is in Allegan, the county that I grew up in and finished off my dispatching career, nobody could talk to me. Nobody would talk to me at all. It was just myself and my trainer, which I understood. I needed to pay attention.
Wow.
But if you don't make me feel like I'm already going to be kind of part of the team and stuff, why am I going to, really want to stick around? And so it was kind of hard for me because I thought, well, this is kind of BS because no one is really, is this the way you all work together? You don't work as a team or anything. And I thought if that would have been kind of incorporated in the training process of working in a team early on, instead of just being isolated and nobody talking to you, it would have been a lot better. But
that's really interesting because, I mean, the washout rate's so high for dispatch. Mm-hmm. And then you start and you talk to people and you're like, well, what went well? What didn't?
Right.
Why are you choosing to leave? And, some of the things, it's like, I'm not going to learn your name till you're signed off. Or, you've been here a year.
Oh, man.
Does anybody ever say, hi, welcome to your first day of the academy, if you have an agency large enough. The person next to you, either you or them, will not be here in a year. welcome to your first day of work.
Yeah.
But... if you can make it where the trainee's accepted, mm-hmm. we try to do it's like, hey, Ricardo, can you get that line? That might be acceptable, but if it's, hey, you messed that call up, then it's, hey, Don, as his trainer, here's the call. So that you're not getting, so it's almost like that protection mechanism to let you have an environment to learn in.
Right.
But it ends up to the trainee feeling like, only Don tells me all the bad stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's so, and it's so different in the now these newer generations that are coming in to the comm centers. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, we all laugh about it, right? If we earn that trust,
sure.
Right? Once you earn that trust, you're like, I'm one of them.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then did you turn around and do it to somebody else because you went through that?
Yeah. And yeah, that was another thing that we talked about where, you know, and I wasn't a certified, you know, I wasn't a CTO, but at one point we were so low staffed that we were all trainers.
Everyone trained.
Yeah, everybody was training. And it was kind of like that. And I'll admit it, I was kind of the same way where it was, you know, I got, you know, a foot put in my ass. So because I got in it the hard way, you're going to get into it as well. I mean, I wasn't as bad, but, you know, I was trying to kind of put it in their mind that you gotta, you know, really pay attention. You gotta kick ass at this. But you know, it kind of the way I was brought in, it ended up continuing to spread. And I think that's what, you know, that's how some people are, is this is the way I was brought in, so I'm gonna bring you in the same way as well. And some people can take it and they're able to do it, and then others they end up right. splitting.
Yeah.
And cool. they could have been probably yeah. a good one too, but they just, it was a different way of learning, I guess.
Well, I think for us too, in our agency, if you're personable and I don't want to say they like you, but if they have a relationship with the trainee, they're more often to help them out in the long run.
That's true.
You know, if they're willing to accept yeah. the feedback from multiple people right. besides a trainer, then that goes a long way for them.
If right. the trainee like has the great attitude and wants to be there yes. and it's like, you go, hey, you did that wrong. Okay, let me do that. Or a trainee goes, well, that's not how Leanne showed me.
Yes.
Well, that's not what I know.
Yeah.
Guess yes. what? The coworkers, because they're technically coworkers, don't want to help that person and aren't going to help them to succeed as the person that went, okay, I'll figure that out, or can you show me? And then they write it down.
Right.
You know, I tell people, it's like, you're not going to know everything. You don't have to know everything, but you have to be able to use your available resources. So mm-hmm. if you need to ask me something, ask me something. But if you ask me 16 times, by the 16th time, I'm going to be irritated with
16's
you.
Your number?
No,
is that the number?
I use the exaggerated term.
Wow.
I use the exaggerated term because if you ask me three times, there are certain people who will be like, okay. Well, I've only asked you twice.
Right, yes.
So if you use 16, yeah. it's the exaggerated yeah, number. So people get like, oh, maybe I should yeah. write this down.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, and that is sometimes a hard thing in training as well. If you've got, you know, different trainers doing different phases, you know, you've got one person who says, well, you know, you do it this way. And then when you go to the next trainer, they're saying, well, you're not doing it right. You should do it this way. By that time, and I say this because it happened to me, by the time you're done, you don't know which one is right. And then when I started training people, I told them, however you find a way to do it that's good for you,
yes.
go ahead and do it. Because you
fastest probably, way.
Right. The fastest, most, you know, efficient way, because I can tell you a way to do it. But if you find an even faster way, do it your way. I don't give a shit. As long as you're getting the work done.
Well, in these CAD systems, we're on the same CAD system. They're mm-hmm. so complicated, and there's five different ways for Sunday to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm command line driven. I'm right click driven, whatever right. it is. It's just like, okay, whatever your fastest way is, go do it.
Yeah, I think that works for a lot of things. I think at our agency, we do say that.
Yeah.
Or they'll say, hey, I see you struggling with this. Since you're struggling with it, I want you to try it this way. Mm-hmm. And when you sign off, you can do it however you want.
Yeah.
But I want to show you this way. I think that helps the trainer do a little bit of control. You know, we're newer to this CAD system. You've been on it for 10 plus years now. It's been
14, I think.
14.
Actually, yeah.
And we've been on it a little over a year. So I think our trainers are sometimes so nervous. They're like, I want you to do it this way. And we're still in that, you know, the dreaded conversation of, is it broken or are we not using the yes. command line correctly?
Yes.
Yeah.
Has
yeah.
that not been reported to sysadmin to fix, or is it a fix that isn't going to come in the next? So people get so, I mean, I'm morphing into a technology conversation, but ugh. That's what's really tough. The poor trainer, it's like, they're just trying to control it enough to
right.
remember that we're all learning on live calls.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So it's not like, you know, you can go, you know, do the test practice. It's live. Mm-hmm. So sometimes they have to.
Yeah, there's no demo stations or anything like that. It's all live.
None of that. Right. You know, that's like, you know, that first time you say, you know, police department, and then you have to go, I'm in training, and then you just hear the caller like.
Well, you know, we've all heard that term, WAD, works as designed. Huh. So we changed that in our department to WADDLES. Works as designed like shit.
That's
what we say. It's WADDLE.
Awesome.
It's a WADDLE. It's a WADDLE. It WADDLES.
Nice. Like shit. That's funny. So how did you get started in public safety then?
Well, I was a police explorer when I was like 16 and went really great explorer post in Escondido, California. It was, you know, we all started and you finish high school and, you know, at 21, you can be an officer. And what do you do in that time? You go to junior college, you're doing your thing. Mm-hmm. And, I had put in to be in property, but I didn't fill out the application fully. So I bought a typewriter. That's why I'm getting back to this. I bought a typewriter and the next job that came up was dispatcher. And I made sure I put everything on that application and I typed it and we turned it in. These days, internet applications.
What's a typewriter?
What's a typewriter?
No. Yeah. For the general public who's listening, what is a typewriter?
So in 1996, I got hired on, 19 years old, had no idea really. I mean, you know, radio codes, you know, you run the radio for the officer when you're doing a ride along, you're filling some forms out, you get in dispatch and you think, I got this. No.
Right. Yeah.
That was the worst year. I had the, are you sure this is the career for you talk three times.
Really?
And I can now say to people, I'm a manager now.
Yeah.
I've been in your shoes. So if you persevere, you can get through this. So I spent a very rough first year and we did everything, law, fire, and medical. And, you know, 19 years old, you can't type. I remember going to the library going, is there books on how to succinctly put things into CAD because I'm really struggling here.
Yeah, there was no Mavis Beacon at that time to help me type.
Nothing, you know, you just had to learn. And so, you know, after a year, finally started to get it, started doing some training. Mm-hmm. The briefing logs were still on the typewriter, so you still had to roll around and do the typewriter.
Wow. Cloverdale days, we did that in Cloverdale.
Yeah, you know, back in the day when CAD was separate from the, they called it ARGIS. I'm sorry, San Diego Users Network, and that was the closest thing to a records management to check if see if anybody had wants or warrants in San Diego. There was no records management at Escondido until like 3 years ago.
Wow. Oh.
So there were no RMS checks. And when you wanted to run wants and warrants and a driver's license, you had to run them separately. I'm getting to my story. So after 4 years, I moved to the Northern California to be closer to family and, you know, put my application in and some Bay Area agencies and went and did a sit-in at San Jose PD. And I'm thinking, 8 channels, this place is huge. This is bigger than my police department. It's the comm center. And they're going to do everything the same way I have to do it in Escondido. I can't keep up with this. And so I ended up going fire because they did really good recruiting, believe it or not. And so suddenly it was, did you know we have a career path? You can be a supervisor. You can be training. You can do this. And I'm like, there's a career path.
Look at them.
I really didn't. And incident dispatching. So I did fire for 11 years.
Where
I promoted through the ranks. And the funny story was then I did my sit-in in the law side in a part of your fire training. And they're like, oh, no, we just typed that name once. It gives us 7 returns at once. Wait, what? You get all 7. Wait. I could have done this.
Right.
But
yeah,
I was on the fire side, embraced the fire side. It was a really great move. So did fire for 11 years in San Jose. And then almost 6 years ago, I got the opportunity to manage the Marin County Sheriff's Office that dispatches for, now I'm on the 5 or 6 law enforcement agencies, 10 fire departments. It's the show in Marin County.
Wow.
And we've moved the center. We've gotten a new CAD. We've created a new classification. So really become the advocate. But, you know, talking about the trenches and, you know, sitting in the chair, you know, as a manager, I try to remember what it's like to be that dispatcher in the chair and every decision I make. And I tell them sometimes you're not going to like my decision, but I am trying to look out for you and your longevity. But every agency I've worked with, there's been some major incident that...
So you're the black cloud everywhere you go.
No, I'm not.
Did you hear that, Ricardo?
Yeah.
I've actually not been on duty for any of them, but they've all impacted. So, you know, there was a significant murder of a 12-year-old girl in Escondido, Stephanie Crow, that was really an impact. They thought that, I don't even know the whole story because it was like 1998.
Okay, yeah.
They thought that they found her dead. They thought an assailant came in and they ended up, the brother was the suspect, the older brother.
Wow.
And there was, it made the national news.
Right.
And I think I don't even remember the whole story, but thinking about today, like thinking about the calls and whatnot, I remember walking into that after, you know, I think the first 10 hours when the, you know, they're still trying to figure stuff out. And there's nothing like that anxiety when you walk in, anxiety or exhilaration, when you walk into CAD or to the center to relieve someone and you see all the units stacked up on the screen.
Oh, man.
Like, what's
going
on?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and, exactly.
You know, back then there was no like social media to tell you what's going on. You just walked in to what was going on.
Right.
And, you know, you were walking in and you're just taking care of things. And, you know, that call to me, I don't remember anything else about it other than it was such a significant thing. After I'd already left the city and moved to Northern California, we literally had to sign, you know, agreements because it'd become this huge case of like, you know, where we were and that we were actually there. And it's just, it's amazing.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
San Jose, great, awesome experience. You know, when you work a combined center for police and fire, okay, you are a police dispatcher that happens to dispatch fire from time to time, okay?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you're like, is engine one available? And San Diego County, it's like 1311. Oh, that's ours? Okay. Oh, yeah, they're available. And you go to 10th largest city and you run their fire department and we're talking, you know, we set stuff on fire. Like third alarm fire is not uncommon.
Wow.
You know, 60,000 medical calls a year. And the great thing about San Jose was they had an incident dispatch team, allows you to go out to the fires. So first, I you know, made the team, didn't have all my gear yet, was hanging out with friends. We get this page that there's a fire of a building under construction. Well, that was a 11-acre structure fire, little
what?
Fire called Santana Row,
oh.
Which was basically a new mall being built, and one of the buildings was fully engulfed.
Oh, no.
So I'm going towards the fire, running towards the fire. I'm having this internal conversation in my head like, are you sure you want to do this? You know, that's a fire. Okay. Yeah. Got to keep good. Duty. Let's go.
Yeah.
And well, so you had a pager. You had to respond to
yeah,
the pager.
Right.
You
yeah.
Know,
yeah.
I'm like running across the freeway to get there because where we had to park, and it caught apartment complexes across the freeway on fire from downwind embers. It's all these things that you don't even listen to when you're in training.
Yeah.
Like these huge things, and then you get on scene, and you see the sheer heat from that fire.
Yeah.
And didn't know you could drive over, you know, 5-inch lines. But when you got to get to the next place you're going, they're like, drive over it. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. And then you switch into dispatch mode.
Right,
you're basically
yeah.
doing the same thing that you're doing in the center and the
but you're much
in the back
scene.
Of the Suburban.
Wow.
So you know that was Santana Row, and that was
now would this be considered like tactical dispatching being
that's,
in the
yes.
scene?
Tactical dispatching, yes.
Excellent. Sorry.
Incident dispatching, tactical dispatching. It's a little different. I mean,
mm-hmm.
the, you know, with incident dispatching, you're not as worried about the safety. There's not, you know, the tactical unit
right, yeah.
ready to breach something. Mm-hmm. It's all fire related. But I mean, I can tell you just being that close to the heat and you have to wear full turnouts. It's a very different, not full turnouts, it's wildland turnouts, but.
Okay,
you know,
I'm
yeah.
trying to picture all this in my head. I'm like, damn, you can go all out.
Well,
like,
and they make you do the mask fit testing, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, well, in case you're at an incident and there's a weapons of mass destruction, you can put this mask on.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Like,
yeah.
What did I sign up for now?
Yes. Feeling a little claustrophobic every time I had to have that mask
fit. Is there some
fit.
Sort of hazard yes. pay or something?
Yeah.
We are not safety personnel.
That's right.
And we all know that.
This is all volunteer. There's no 5% for this. No.
Yeah.
So yeah, and Marin County, you know, I will fully say that I have not had the opportunity to sit as a dispatcher.
Mm-hmm.
I am a, you know, I say a pencil pushing administrator. I advocate for the dispatchers.
Right.
We built the center up there. That's one of the things, you know, we
it's
have
beautiful
windows to take care of the dispatchers. And we've had some tough calls in my tenure there. One of them, I'm not going to name names, but we unfortunately had a suicide of a very high profile person in our mm-hmm. county. And speaking from the management side of mm-hmm. that incident, it really hurt because we kept having to listen to the recording over and over again because we were having to transcribe it because they wanted the transcript. So we kept listening to it over and over again to get it right. And when you keep having to hear that, it scarred me for a while, and I couldn't even, hear anything about that person or the memorials and stuff because I was so thinking about, that call,
right,
and how terrible it was for my dispatcher and for the poor person on the phone and the loss of this person that was very much loved by everybody.
Right. Yeah.
So, it was really tough. And then it was decided we're not releasing the transcripts. So again, all that work, and it was mainly on my assistant one of my assistant managers, all that work. And that's, that'll really stick with me was that just that piece for our dispatcher. And our dispatchers are, every manager is probably going to say this, just they give so much of themselves to these kinds of calls.
Right.
That, it takes a little bit out of them each time. So, that dispatcher who's taken the three homicides and they're an excellent dispatcher, the person who took this call is an excellent dispatcher. Mm-hmm. But you wonder what it takes out of them to continue to, process those kinds of calls.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's something that, that's why I love doing this so much, because there's not only, a huge public safety following of the podcast, but there are a lot of people in the general public who are listening and learning more. I mean, I've been receiving messages from people even recently saying, I'm glad I found your podcast because I have a whole new appreciation for those who answer, that call of duty on 911 when, they're taking this. They're not just there taking these calls. They're not just drones. They do have feelings. They are there with the caller, and thank you for doing, thanking the dispatchers for doing the job that they do. People don't understand that there's that goes into it, the feelings that they might sound calm and cool, maybe sometimes even a little crass or firm or whatever, but in the back of their head, they're freaking out in so many ways, but you can't be emotional on the phone. You got to stay with it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like everything we do is recorded or, somehow documented in CAD, but what's not documented is when they hang up the call and, the change that goes on in them. And if you have working supervisors, which I'm sorry, most agencies have working supervisors, mm-hmm. a supervisor can't even come over and ask, are you okay? What do you need?
Right.
Not in that second. They'll get to it. Mm-hmm. They will get it. But it's not always instantaneous. And sometimes you got to just pick up the next call. And that's so, it's cumulative.
Mm-hmm.
And something we've been really talking about in our neck of the woods is, is there something like at 15 years, a lot of dispatchers, everybody talks about the 5 years. Everybody know, people make it past 5 years. I'm like, okay, those are the people who have decided this is the career for me. But that 15-year mark seems to be really especially challenging for us. It's like something, and especially if there's no opportunity for administrative assignments and they've been in the trenches for 15 years, day after day, how do you recharge them? Well, you can send them to a conference, mm-hmm. but you can't do that every year.
Right, exactly.
Dispatcher. And there are excellent, excellent employees. They're the ones you want training. They're the ones you want taking those calls. But they're also the ones that have taken all those calls. And it's like, how do you give back to them?
That's a good question.
And there's no way that this job doesn't change you. There's just no way. After 5 years, 15 years especially, this job will change you. We see the dregs, the worst of people, 5% of the population over and over and over again. It's just tough. It's hard to hear those screams on the phone mm-hmm. and not have it affect you. We're human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And, I remember, many a nights, my kids are grown now, but, back when I first started, I had really young kids at the time. There's nothing better than giving them a hug after a 10-hour shift just to go, okay, this is my real life. And luckily, I'm able to take care of them in a great way.
Right. It's almost like... because I've been there as well. You come home after having a crazy night, whether it's a full moon or not.
Yes.
And you hug your kids or wife, husband, or whatever. And for me, it was just like a sigh of relief, you know, like this, the pressure just went away. And yeah, that's definitely how it was for me. Just hugging the kids and being like, all right, I'm here. However, I could not shut it off though. The dispatcher ear would continue going. And, you know, my wife would be talking to me, and I've said it many times on the podcast, she would be talking to me and I can hear the kids in the room. I can hear what's on TV. I can hear what's going on outside. And then I circle back around to my wife and she goes, you heard what I said?
Can you repeat that, please?
Yeah.
10-9?
Let me get on my playback.
I need a playback at my house, too.
I know, right? That would be so good.
Yes. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I couldn't turn it off sometimes. And even now, sometimes, even though I'm not in dispatch, this coming, well, next month, on the 23rd, will be 4 years since I've been out of dispatch. Wow. And every now and then, I find myself doing certain things or doing phonetics on license plates, and my wife will say, you're not in dispatch anymore. I'm like, yeah, but you know, once dispatch, always dispatch. It's always going to be with me. So
restaurants are the hardest. Sometimes if people are next to you close in some of these restaurants that are, you know, close quarters, you're listening to all these conversations going on at once.
Yes.
And you really want to turn around and go, you know, no.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Help me with this problem.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You know that if, you guys didn't have to call the police because that little fender bender in the parking lot, you could have just exchanged, you know, it would have been fine.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I always want to say stuff to people, or I'll look at my wife and say, did you hear what's going on? She goes, what? I said, two tables over that way, these people are saying this and this. She's like, why are you listening? He's like, I can't help it.
I can't help it.
I cannot help it at all. I can hear everything that's going on. And she's like, you need to stop.
And then, of course, when you actually need to hear something, you're like, I can't hear it.
Right.
What is it?
Yeah,
especially
exactly.
During football games. I can't hear anything during football games. My wife will talk to me and the dispatcher ear turns off.
Oh, that's your way of, that's your calming technique.
Yeah. I'm watching the game. She's trying to tell me a story and I just can't hear it. It doesn't work.
That's smart for her. She
it
needs
doesn't
to be
work
like,
during football season.
So Dawn, I'm gonna go shopping.
Yes.
You said I could have whatever I wanted.
Yes. Right.
Uh huh.
Yep. I'm taking right. the bank card all right. and bye. All right. Yeah.
Have a good football game. Uh huh. Okay, okay. Bye.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Bye. Mm-hmm. Come back yes. with pizza.
That's funny. So, going into the wrap up of this this episode, which has been excellent. I mean, we got a lot of information here, and just this. We're going on about almost 40 minutes, actually, yeah. talking. Yeah, and it's about 10 to 4 right now.
Perfect.
But what are some of the things that you guys are looking forward to, like, getting out of this week for the rest of this conference? Because it's Monday today, so we're right here in the beginning. Anything specific, maybe some classes that you're going to or anything to bring back to your centers?
For me, I actually learned something new today, which I'm still trying to wrap my brain around mm-hmm. from AT&T about RTT.
Real Avesta.
Avesta. Well, yeah. To me, they're all the same. From Avesta, sorry, Avesta.
I knew you were going
to
say that.
Yeah. RTT, real-time texting.
Yeah.
That's where scary. You will start to see the text as they type it.
It's which, crazy, huh?
Which is great for 911. Not so good
bad
when I'm texting somebody.
Life.
Bad for your personal
yes.
life.
Yeah.
Great for 911.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, there's so much technology. And, like, here we are with the texting. We're talking about texting in 2017. So, 2022, what are we going to be talking about? It won't be texting 911. It's going to be maybe real-time texting, or it's going to be whatever it is. You know, we're going to be talking about something else in a few years.
Yeah.
That's always exciting to me and scary, obviously, at the same time.
Right,
exciting,
of course.
Scary.
Yeah.
Again, the text to 911 stuff, mm-hmm. finishing up some business in the vendor hall with respect to our plans for text to 911 by the end of the calendar year. I'm technically into FirstNet and whatnot. I'm on the Bayrix executive board for the Bay Area, which kind of represents FirstNet for the Bay Area. And I'm really wanting to know more about how FirstNet is going to really converge with next generation 911 with air quotes around it and the ESI net. And,
yeah.
and you know, everybody's got ideas, but they're all really siloed. And I've sat through some meetings and it's like, you understand that's going to have to be cataloged somehow, which means it's coming through the dispatch center.
Right.
So I think that's one of the things that I'm hoping to go to some of the classes here and listen to that. And, you know, I got to say that keynote this morning was excellent.
That is amazing.
And I think
that's
that
what
that
I keep hearing. Yeah.
Just what a great keynote what was it? Because I, what is it?
Because I said I can. No, because Here we are.
Okay, here we are.
I got the cards right here.
Oh, good.
Because I said I would.
Because yeah. I said I would. And just the, you know, keeping your commitments and your promises to that integrity and whatnot.
I heard it was emotionally driven and kind of a tearjerker as well. But
the way it started out, I didn't think it was going to be as powerful as it was. Mm-hmm. But he kind of lulled you into like, oh, okay, and then wham.
Thank God, like, ever so often he would like say something funny to give us all a chance to laugh, to just recover.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Because that was, it was just very powerful. And
that's cool.
And that's the greatest thing about these conferences is you're like, I'm technically driven or I'm operationally driven. And then you just get something like that that's so applicable, mm-hmm. but is not what you expected. So
right.
that was just really good job to Nina for doing that. And, you know.
And Comcast. Look at that little.
Yeah. Well
yeah,
done.
Look at
okay,
that.
Okay, there you go.
Right.
Segue.
Yeah. Well, thank you both very much for being on this episode.
Thank you.
It's been excellent. Got some good information on here. And I hope you guys enjoy the rest of the week. Again, a lot of stuff going on. Vendor hall, classes, the networking, of course, you know, continuing education. So for those who are listening to the episode, if you have any comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us, and that's going to be wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That is at 901 Podcast. You can like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/WithinTheTrenchesPodcast. And this episode, along with all the others this week, are sponsored by Nina, as well as InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services. And this episode can be heard 24/7 on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, and the Jabberlog.com. Have a good one, everybody.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to wttpodcast@gmail.com.